Hey, how you been? Kirby back with you here on Total Country Bob FM as we have some more baseball for you. Our travels have brought us to Shakopee, back to the Joe for day number two and to the final four here on Total Country Bob FM in Class B as the Cold Spring Springers take on the Moorhead Brewers this afternoon. I'm Kirby Hemish hanging out with you today. Reese Hemish joins me, and Reese hustling from Springfield here to Shakopee. One exclamation point, basically, of our journey. We're here. Yeah. It was a tiresome drive, but we made it on time with some time to spare.
So did you and Dad go steak or seafood in between games?
Yeah, totally. Mom actually packed him some cookies, and we rifled through those. So it was good stuff. But we made it. The Rockies game is over, and we are here in Shakopee for the Cold Spring Springers taking on the Moorhead Brewers. Raised two teams. They know plenty about each other.
Yeah, these are just definitely two teams. You're talking about two in the same section, both coming out of Section 2 here, Moorhead being the one seed, Cold Spring being the two. Perennial state tournament teams. They've been in every state tournament since 2012, each of them. Usually, kind of earlier on in this decade, the Springers were getting to this spot of it. This is normal territory for Moorhead. They're in the final weekend already, trying to do a little seeding into that. So, yeah, definitely two teams that know each other ins and outs. It's kind of a little Twitter going back between the two teams this morning, talking about that very phenomenon.
Yeah, what was that? Do you need a scouting report or something like that? And the other one's like, nah, we know you all too well.
We got it.
Springers and Brewers, it's brought to you today on your Sunday afternoon, turning into your Sunday evening, by Promotional Resources Incorporated in St. Joe, Cold Spring Bakery, Willembrink-Dahl, Woken and Zimmerman of Cold Spring, Avon and Albany, Painesville Mutual Insurance, West Wind Woodworkers of Cold Spring, Tom Kramer Incorporated, Rambo, Beastman Trucking, Erkins Water, and Gilliland Chevrolet. Stay tuned after the game for the Albany and Richmond A&W postgame show, where Reese will name the Albany and Richmond A&W postgame player of the game. That player is going to receive a $10 certificate to Albany or Richmond A&W. That's coming up after the game. Reese Hemish, starting lineups. Why don't you give us the visiting lineup first, and we'll do the other one come next inning.
Absolutely. It will be the Springers once again today. The visitors on the scoreboard, just like yesterday, leading off in center field, taking the box right now, Brian Hansen. Batting second at second base, Garrett Fox. Batting third at short, Jordan Barth. Batting fourth for the Springers, right fielder is Joe Dempsey. Batting fifth, the catcher, Drew Bolson. Batting sixth for Cold Spring, third baseman, Drew Van Looy. Batting seventh in left field, Brad Olson. Batting eighth for Cold Spring, playing first base, Jaron Terrace. Batting ninth will be the designated hitter, Alex Jungles, and he's hitting this evening for Cold Spring starting pitcher, Zach Femright.
First offering of the afternoon from Kyle Kingsley in there for a strike to Brian Hansen. Hansen leading things off for Cold Spring here in the first as he looks at a strike. Second pitch swung on and missed from Kingsley, and Hansen in a hole at 0-2. Winner of this game will get Chan Hassan on Friday nights in the driver's seat game here in Class B at the Joe Friday night right here. As the 0-2 pitch to Hansen, that's missing low for a ball. We'll set the Brewers up in the field for you here in the first inning. At third base, it's Tanner Adam. At shortstop, it's Nick Salentine. At second base, it is Brant Kolpak. And at first base, it is Mike Peschel. As the two-strike pitch fouled to the netting by Hansen, as Brian stays alive and the count remains at 1-2. Kyle Kingsley on the mound for Moorhead. And so the Brewers got the baby blues, baby brews, I guess you could call them.
Ooh.
As some nice jerseys here today. 1-2 pitch to Hansen. That's missing low. Moves our count to 2-2. It'll be Hansen, Garrett Fox, Jordan Barth for Cold Spring. Cold Spring amateur teams have been hitting the baseball in Class B and Class C thus far in the state tournament. As 2-2 the count. Kingsley set. 2-2 pitch to Hansen. That is fisted into short center field. And Brian starts the game with a little handle shot that drops in front of the left fielder, Oy, and the center fielder, McLean, and the Springers get the leader on.
That's what you want out of your leadoff guy. Hansen can do a little bit of both. He's got two home runs already so far in this tournament, but right there, he's got a leadoff inning and just needs a base hit, and that's exactly what he gets.
Started our game yesterday with a leadoff home run. This is news to you. You didn't see it. You were reading a lineup at the
correct. Yeah, that's right, I did.
But Hansen aboard, that'll bring Garrett Fox to the plate as Fox steps in, squaring to bunt and now pulling back. It was a drag bunt attempt right there and then pulled back upon by Garrett Fox, excuse me. Left field, I mentioned, it's Matt Oy. In center field, it's Jason McLean. In right field, it's Joe Halleck. Behind the plate today for Moorhead is Chandler Ibach. On the mound, Kyle Kingsley. As Kingsley's 1-0 pitch is bunted by Fox. That is a fair ball fielded and thrown to first, and it gets by the first baseman. Hansen will end up at third. Fox ends up at first. A tough play for Tanner Adam Reese, but I think that ball's probably going to be caught right there.
Yeah, he came up hard on it. He made a nice play, kind of the off-balance throw from Adam across his body to try and get Fox at first. But first baseman Mike Peschel just kind of made an early stretch on that one. Maybe a stretch a little bit the wrong way, the throw a little bit offline, but definitely catchable. And Springer's got to try and make that hurt now.
So Cold Spring with a man aboard on a single, then a sacrifice bunt that everybody turns safe on and brings Jordan Bars to the plate, the guy you want up. JB had himself a day yesterday, Reese.
Not a bad one for Barth. 4 for 6, 2 runs scored, double on the day. He's having himself quite a tournament so far. He's about 6 for 10.
Pitch from Kingsley missing to Barth. The 1-0 pitch that is hammered foul, or that is a fair ball. They're going to come home with it, and Hansen is out at the plate. Hansen looking at the umpire saying, where was I supposed to score? He's blocking the plate. Now Brian kind of conceding a little bit. Going on contact right there, Reese, and the Springers run into an out at the dish.
Yeah, not sure what the thought was there sending him on that. I don't think he was sent by Hinkemeyer by any means, but it looks like he just kind of took off. Maybe didn't think Tanner Adam was going to make that play at third, but he corrals that and makes a strong throw home. Kind of understand Hansen's case at the plate with the argument as well, but we're at a tough angle for that one.
So one on, two on, runners at the corners for Cold Spring, one away. That brings Joe Dempsey to the plate. As Dempsey had himself a very nice afternoon yesterday as well, as he first pitch swinging, pops this one up into short right field. I don't think this is going to be deep enough. It is caught by Joe Halleck. His throw comes in. Fox is going to try to score, and the Springers have run into two outs at the plate as a double play ends the Cold Spring first. Halleck with a strong throw. Fox blown up at the dish, Reese, and it's two outs at the home plate for Cold Spring in the top of the first inning.
Just an absolute buzzkill for the Springers. You get a gift like that for Moorhead. They throw the ball down the right field line. You got your leadoff and two hitters on second and third base with nobody out in the first. Not only you not bring them in, but you have both of them thrown out at the plate. Really a tough break for Cold Spring.
For the Springers in the first inning, they score no runs on one hit. There was one Moorhead error and one runner left on base. After half an inning, Cold Spring 0. Moorhead coming to bat. You're listening to State Amateur Baseball Tournament, Class B, live from Joe Schlaper Stadium. The Joe hosting the Class B games. We're on to the bottom of the first in 1 minute on Total Country Bop FM. We welcome you back to the Joe as Kirby Hemish with Reese Hemish here today. I trade my father for my brother for the nightcap of our games here as the Cold Spring Springers will take to the field as baseball is a momentum game, Reese. You know this very well, and Moorhead with some momentum right now after some nice defense the last inning.
Yeah, you're out here trying to get another win. I know that we have finally reached the point of the tournament where it's double elimination, so it's not like you have to win, but this is a big one. You don't want to come back through next weekend with a loss and really have to work your way backwards. So these early innings are going to be key with everybody throwing their second pitcher, and right there, Moorhead just getting a big one with that double play from right field.
Brant Kolpak leading things off for the Brewers as Reese is going to run through that lineup as Zach Femright's first pitch pitching, second pitch in their first strike. The Brewer lineup, Reese.
Leading off, like you said, second baseman Brant Kolpak. Batting second is in center field is Jace McLean. Batting third, the designated hitter Denver Blinn. Batting fourth for Moorhead is the right fielder Joe Halleck. He had that throw in the top of the first. Batting fifth at third base is Tanner Adam. Batting sixth, first baseman Mike Peschel. Batting seventh and catching for Moorhead, Chandler Ibach. Batting eighth, the shortstop number 4, Nick Salentine. Batting ninth, the left fielder number 51, Matt Oye. And doing the pitching for Moorhead, getting DH for, is Kyle Kingsley.
So there's the Brewers as Femright gets one past Brant Kolpak. Misses wide as well. Two and two the count as the 2-2 offering that is popped up into short right field. Fox out, Dempsey in. Fox calling for it at second. He'll make the catch for out number one. Springer starting pitcher Zach Femright. He threw the eighth and the ninth?
That's correct.
Eighth and the ninth for Femright yesterday as he comes back and throws today. Not this may be shocking, not the first time he's thrown in consecutive days in the state tournament. in his illustrious amateur baseball career. As Femright on the mound, we alluded to it a little bit yesterday, Reese, as his first offering fouled into the netting by Jace McLean, that this isn't the 2005 Femright. The White Sox don't call him anymore or anything like that, but this guy still knows what he's doing up there, and he's still pretty darn talented.
Yeah, you can't just take the knowledge of being a pitcher away from a pitcher. He's been doing it for so long. He knows a lot of these lineups down here in the Class B state tournament. That's not going to leave, even if you're not throwing as hard, even if you're not throwing nearly as hard as he used to be. So as long as he still has that knowledge and can still be a tall guy intimidating up there, he's going to have some sort of success on the mound.
McLean skies one foul in third base foul territory. Van Loy over for a look. Drew will run out of room as the count moves to 1-2 to Jace McLean. You talked about the scouting reports, the amount of games that these two teams play against each other throughout the year. Look at a little shift right here. Garrett Fox playing second base.
Yeah, Fox normally plays a couple steps into the grass, contrary to most second basemen. Right now, he's about five steps into the right center field grass, playing a normal between the bases where a second baseman play, but just a few steps back. So clearly they know something about McLean here, the lefty hitter.
Femright's 1-2 is off the plate. McLean takes 2-2 offering from Zach Femright. That is hit right to Garrett Fox playing in short right field. It's a long third hop. Throws to Jaron Terrace, 4-3 to retire McLean. Say he'd probably make that play if he was playing at a normal position as well, but just had a little more time on it this way.
I'd say so, yeah. A little more of a line drive would have been a tough. And that's one thing, too, the difference between the Class A tournaments that we were talking about yesterday. These B teams, they see the same guys over and over, so they know each other. There's no guessing game like you see in the C ball, and you saw it right there.
Brings Denver Blinn to the plate as Blinn, the DH today. Femright's first offering to Blinn is in there for a strike. Shifting conversation. What do you think of the center field alignment for the Buckman Billy Goat center fielder Matt Touches when Austin Duffner came up to bat there in the sixth inning of the Rocky game today, Reese?
That was something. For those of you that didn't get a chance to see it, you know, Matt Touches listening to Kerb or Kurt on that one. Duffner with three home runs, so they're taking a couple steps back already. It's about 470. It says 452 to center field in Springfield. I've told it's about 470. Matt Touches had to have been playing about 455 on that one.
He was very far back there. If Duffner hit it over his head, it would have been a miracle. As Denver Blinn, following a pitch off from Femright 0-2. Congratulations to David Jonas and Tom Ficker and the entire Cold Spring Rockies for advancing to the final weekend for the first time in 12 years. Femright's 0-2 to Blinn, just off the plate right there. Moves our count to 1-2. They will play Friday night against Isanti in Milroy. We'll have that game either here on KDDG or on KASM as the 1-2 pitch missing outside to Denver Blinn. Count goes to 2-2. Coincidentally, should the Springers win this game, they would play at the same time on Friday against Chanhassen. So me being the broadcaster for the Cold Spring teams would put me in a bind. Contrary to popular belief, it is tough to be in two places at one time, even though your dad can get you 100 miles in under an hour and a half. Denver Blinn strikes out to end. He swings through a Femright fastball to end the Brewer half of the first inning. Strikeout number one for Zach Femright. He retires Moorhead in order here in the first, and that does it for the Brewers. After one, it is Cold Spring 0, Moorhead 0. You are listening to Total Country Bob FM, and we have Cold Spring Springer State Tournament Baseball right here, and we're back in a minute. Top two we go as Drew Bolson steps into the batter's box for the Cold Spring Springers as Bolson looks at a first pitch ball. Cold Spring and Moorhead, Reese. Moorhead has really turned into a pretty illustrious squad all of a sudden the past few years. A lot of state tournament bursts. Do they have a title in there?
I did not think I saw a title. I saw 20. This is their 20th appearance so far. They took second place in 2016, third place in 2017, and third place in 2018. So a lot of times they're not only just getting down here, also a second place in 2015 as well. So
yeah, In Cold Spring,
absolutely. They placed a lot. They place every year from 2014 to 2018. They just didn't place last year. So they're no stranger. They've kind of been doing this every single year now.
2-1 the count to Drew Bolson as Bolson fouls one down the right field line. As that will run the count to 2-2. It'll be Bolson, Drew Van Loy, and Brad Olson.
I think if you're a B fan, just from a perspective, you're getting a pretty good Final Four here when you get a Moorhead, Cold Spring, Chanhassen, Meesville. I mean, over the last five, 10 years, those have been probably four of the best teams in the state when it comes to be a year in and year out.
Yeah, Brewers, I think you alluded to it, 2010, took second place, 14 third, 15 second, 16 second, 17 third, 18 third, and then did not place in 19 as Bolson hits the ball into the air to right field. Halleck is on it. He'll catch that cap high to retire the young Springer catcher for out number one. So, you know, in that same time, we've talked about a fantastic Cold Spring Springer run there for a while. The runner-up in 2012, back-to-back champs in 13 and 14, and the third place in 2015. You know, with Moorhead having that run in there, and now Chanhassen and Meesville trading titles back and forth, titles and runners-up, these four teams pretty illustrious in the hardware department the past few years.
Yeah, they draw a lot of comparisons at the B side of just that team that's just every year one game away. I mean, if you're constantly taking second and third place in state, it's pretty obvious. But apparently there's just one game in this tournament where something just doesn't go Moorhead's way. And when you're playing teams like Chan and Meesville this time of year, it's really tough to get back when you got a loss already.
Van Loy looks at a strike. Then Drew is all over the Kingsley fastball. He smashes it into left field for a one-out single. So Drew's aboard, and that'll bring Brad Olson to the plate. As Reese, we look at the sky here today and some cloud cover. I'd say Brad Olson was checking the radar and hoping for some cloud cover when he woke up this morning, would you say?
It's got to be tough. He spent an entire game yesterday staring into the sun here in Moorhead, in Shakopee. Heard us talk about that yesterday. And then they play the exact same time today. So he's thinking if it's the same sky, he's going to be dealing with the same problems. But luckily, no really sun in sight so far here in Shakopee. Looks like it's going to be that way for a while. So Olson might be okay.
Brad looks at a strike. He is in left again. Springer's batting order is the same as it was yesterday and last Sunday as well, as Olson hits it back up the middle off the glove of Kingsley, who bobbles it for a moment. I could hear his catcher, Chandler Ibach, say 2-2-2. It was off of his glove and fell to the ground, Race. He picked it up and dropped it again. And by that point, he only had one play to retire Olson at first.
I think he definitely would have had time to go to second if he doesn't bobble it at the beginning. Van Loy obviously running the bases, not exactly the most fleet of foot. So maybe could have got a turn, but either way, he gets one out of it. And hopefully he can, if he can get Terrace here, he can get out with nothing.
So two away, Van Loy does advance to second into scoring position here as Kingsley will pitch to Jaron Terrace. As the first offering to Terrace is fouled away. Jaron hacking at that one. New number on Jaron today. He was number 10 in the last two games. He's number 3 today as the Springers are wearing their third different uniform of the state tournament. These are maroon, buttonless, the Springer S on the left nipple. Some white piping down the sides and white numbering on the back. One strike to Terrace as Kingsley set. He checks Van Loy a couple times. That pitch missing inside to Terrace. Evens this up at 1-1.
And I don't even think this is all of the Springer sets. I think things one we still haven't even seen yet either. Maybe even two. Unbelievable.
As the 1-1 pitch. Well, we haven't seen the grays, the full grays.
Right, and I think there's another white in there too. Or at least there used to be.
There used to be another white?
I think it was multiple whites, multiple maroons, and a gray.
So they've wore the one that the Bat Boy's wearing, right? That was what they wore last Sunday?
Yep.
So you're thinking there's one more white?
I think so.
Okay. 2-1 the count as Kingsley set. His 2-1 pitch to Terrace is cut on and missed as Jaron comes up empty with a big boy hack. Evens our count up at 2-2. Two away for Cold Spring here in the second inning. They had a nice threat in the second and third, with nobody out. Then they ran into a couple outs at the plate. A ground ball to third by Barth. Brian Hansen was thrown out at home. Then a fly ball to right field that was caught, and Garrett Fox was doubled up at home. As Terrace pops this one up over by the Moorhead dugout, over for a look, is catcher Chandler Ibach. He won't have room for that as the ball drops, and Terrace will have new life as the count remains at 2-2. See Nick Pennick and B.J. Halls walking around the park, not in the dugout. Pennick, winning pitcher, first two games for Cold Spring in the state tournament. Got to assume he'll get another chance next weekend, should it be Friday or Saturday, whenever the Springers do end up playing. We'll find out when they play over the next few hours as the 2-2 pitch missing down right there. Good take by Terrace as filling the count up at 3-2 with ninth hitter Alex Jungles on deck for Cold Spring. 9-time state champion Springers advancing to the final weekend once again this year. Payoff pitch to Terrace. High ball four, and Jaron coaxes a walk. Nice work right there by Jaron Reese as kind of spitting on a few of those off-speed pitches and punching him foul and working his way for Kingsley to walk him.
Just good to see him having a good approach at the plate. He started off this tournament a little rough, 0-for-3 in his first game last Sunday against Inoki. Started out 0-3, 0-for-3 yesterday as well. Came back with a couple late hits for the Springers in that one, and then he draws the early inning walk here. So good to see Jaron battling up there out of the 8 hole.
So two on, two out. Ninth place hitter Alex Jungles to the plate as the first offering to Jungles. That's hit in the air to short left center field. Van Looy's coming right away. That ball's going to drop. Waved home by Hinkemeyer. The throw from center field will be cut off in the infield, and Cold Spring strikes first on an RBI two-out single by designated hitter Alex Jungles.
Jungles showing once again there. You don't have to absolutely blast the ball. That one almost a mirror single that Hansen's was in the top of the first inning. Just a little flare in between the left and center field over the shortstop's head, and that's going to do with two outs and Van Looy running on the contact.
So Cold Spring notches the scoreboard first as they take a 1-0 advantage here in the top of the second inning. Brings Brian Hansen to the plate. Good speed on the pads here with Terrace at second and Jungles at first. First offering to Hansen. Curveball in there for a strike from Kyle Kingsley. Saw some nine-hole DH production in the Cold Spring Rockies game earlier today with Colin Eskew. More of the same for Cold Spring baseball today as Jungles picks up where Eskew led off. One strike pitch to Hansen. That is hit in the air to center field as McLean started back. Now he'll take a few steps in. He'll make the catch cap high to retire Hansen, and that does it for the Springers here in the second. But they strike first, scoring one run on two hits. There were no Moorhead errors and two runners left on base. After 1.5, our scoreboard now reads 1-0 Cold Spring over Moorhead. We head to the bottom of the second inning in 1 minute right here on your home for Springer State Tournament Baseball today. It's Total Country, Bob FM. Bottom of the second here at the Joe as Joe Halleck, Tanner Adam, and Mike Peschel get their first look at Springer right-hander Zach Femright. First today, I'm sure these guys have seen Z about 100 times over the past 10 years or longer if they've had some extended careers, as the first pitch fouled off by Joe Halleck. Second pitch is right down Broadway for strike two. Halleck, the right fielder, he had that nice throw to throw out Garrett Fox to end the Springer threat in the first inning, posing G at the plate. 0-2 pitch from Femright is up and in, moving our count to 1-2.
Seems like this is kind of the legacy part of the lineup for Moorhead. Halleck, Adam, Peschel, those are some familiar names over the years.
No stranger to August baseball are these guys as that pitch is hammered to center field. Hansen going back. A lot of room to rumble in center here. It's no Springfield, but there's still plenty of ballpark at the Joe, and Brian makes the catch 10 feet in front of the big batter's eye in center for out number one.
Kind of saw that being a possibility for Moorhead coming in today, just swinging the bats heavy. They had three solo home runs in their contest yesterday, so they're no stranger to the home runs here at the Joe.
You get ice cream or something if you hit a home run here today or this weekend?
I think you get something free in Shakopee somewhere. Maybe okay. Like a pitcher of beer at the Shakopee Bowl, something like that.
Okay, I just saw something on Twitter that the guys were sitting there with some sort of coupon for something. As Tanner Adam comes to the plate, Femright's first offering missing. Second pitch is in there for a strike, evening us up at 1-1. Adam, the third baseman, he had a nice throw to throw up Brian Hansen, trying to score in the first inning. Femright's 1-1, that's missing. Moves our count now to 2-1. 2-1 the count. Femright handed a 1-0 lead by his teammates. Scoring in the top half of this, the second. That pitch is smashed into left field for the Moorhead first hit right there. Past the diving Van Looy. Tanner Adam, solid knock as they get a base runner.
And Van Looy playing just a couple steps right around the base, right level with the base at third base. Diving attempt to his left, but that thing was on a rope, so no chance for Velo on that one.
Brings Mike Peschel to the plate for Moorhead. Moorhead a victory yesterday over Dundas. Who did they beat in the first round race?
First round, I know it was right before the Springer game here.
As here's a line drive to Barth at short. He makes the catch on the line drive and fires back to first, but back safely is Tanner Adam. Barth at the strong arm across the diamond. But back in time and freezing on the line drive was Tanner Adam, so there is two away.
It was Prior Lake they beat in the first round. That was that interesting video we saw.
Oh, yeah.
The Prior Lake pitching. Yeah.
Prior Lake thinking that there was an interference on a steal of home, basically, or after a pitch had been thrown, a Moorhead base runner caught Prior Lake napping, and there was a video on Twitter of a young man who was not happy with the call as the first offering to Chandler Ibach has popped up into right field. Dempsey coming on, Joe calling and catching. He'll put that one away for out number three, and that does it for the Brewers in the second. They score no runs, get their first hit. There were no Cold Spring errors, and there was one runner left on base. We've completed two here at the Joe on your Sunday afternoon. Scoreboard says 1-0 in favor of Cold Spring. We're back with the third inning coming up in 1 minute on Bob FM. To the third here on your Sunday, it'll be Garrett Fox, Jordan Barth, and Joe Dempsey trying to extend the current Springer 1-0 lead. Fox reached on that error on that sacrifice bunt that he had in the first inning, ended up on second with the error and the ball going up the first base line and being thrown out at home by right fielder Joe Halleck on Joe Dempsey's fly out to right field. It's 1-0 Cold Spring as Kyle Kingsley back out onto the mound for his third inning of work here today. First offering to Fox is in there for a strike. Fox, Jordan Barth, Joe Dempsey up for Cold Spring. Second time through here against Kyle Kingsley. As Kingsley, the right-hander, his one-strike pitch, that is missing right there, moves our count to 1-1. Waiting for the winner of this game for Friday night is Chan Hassan, the two-time defending state champions. As a 1-1 pitch waved at right there by Fox, he's in a hole. At 1-2, 5-1 victory for Moorhead over Dundas yesterday, as that pitch is missing by Fox, moving our count to 2-2. Good pitching by David Ernst and Cole Christensen for the Moorhead Brewers, as the 2-2 pitch is hit on the ground towards short. Adams got to hurry. He fields, he throws, and he makes a very nice play right there, 5-3, to get the Springer leadoff man in the third.
The Christensen might be a familiar name.
Is that the guy who threw like 200 pitches?
Nope. I believe he used to be pitching for the Raymond Rockets. I believe that's the same Cole Christensen. He played college baseball up at Concordia Moorhead, so I would assume that that's him. He's no longer playing for Raymond, so that would, if I was a betting man, I'd say that was him.
The three home runs they had yesterday as Jordan Barth steps into the plate belong to Joe Halleck, the right fielder, Chandler Ibach, the catcher, and a pinch-hit home run for Chris Clemenson. Pinch-hit home run. That is swell managing by the Moorhead Brass. 1-0 pitch to Barth. He shoots that foul to even the count up at 1-1. One and one the count to the Springer shortstop. Having quite a tournament thus far is Jordan Barth. 1-1 pitch. There's another base hit for him as he smashes one right up the middle. Right through the chute, Reese, and he's aboard again.
Just seems to be all over everything on the right side in this one, is Barth. Just so far in this tournament. Obviously, playing an entire Northwoods League schedule coming back. I'm sure the pitching's a little different here. You probably get you a little better timing, but he's been on top of everything that's been thrown on the inside of part of the plate so far through 2.5 games.
So one on and one out, and Joe Dempsey to the plate. Joe flew out to right field. That was where Halleck ended up throwing out Garrett Fox at home plate. Barth aboard, being held on at first by Mike Peschel. As the first offering to Dempsey, he's all over that ball, and he hits that into left field. Barth with a turn at second, he's going to stay put right there in back-to-back singles by the heart of the Springer order. Dempsey and Barth picking up where they left off yesterday, Reese. Some hard hit balls.
Yeah, 4-for-6 yesterday for Jordan Barth, 3-for-4 for Dempsey. Dempsey's had 3 hits in both of the games so far in this tournament, so he's definitely swinging a hot bat. And even his F9 that didn't result in a sack fly last inning, that was still hit pretty well in my opinion.
Two men on and Drew Bolson to the plate. As Bolson into the batter's box for the Springers. Barth leading from second. It is Dempsey from first. As Kingsley's first offering off speed in there for a strike. Springer pitching on the weekend, if you were curious, Reese. They had Nick Pennick go seven yesterday, Femright the final two. Femright's back at it today as a spin move pickoff attempt without a throw from Kyle Kingsley right there as Barth back safely at second base. Thinking maybe Joey Stock could throw this weekend? No, he's a Boston Red Sox farmhand now.
Would have been a nice guy to have out of the bullpen.
One strike pitch to Bolson is hit in the air to right field. Halleck has room. He'll catch it. Barth's going to tag. The throw coming all the way through. This is going to be close, and Barth is safe at third base. The ump was right on it. The tag applied by Tanner Adam, and that was awfully close, but Barth is indeed safe at third. Dempsey ends up at second base as well. Strong throw. I don't think I'd be running much more on Joe Halleck, Reese.
Absolutely not. And I know a lot of people probably wondering why they went and did that to try and get him to third with two outs when he's scoring on a single anyway. Well, with that, you get Dempsey into scoring position now, so a single brings him in. But yeah, if I'm Dave Hinkemeyer, I've ran into two outs so far and almost just ran into a third. I know he's trying to play aggressive, put up a couple runs early on this Morehead team, get his pitcher some space, but he needs to get some runners safe here as well.
So that brings Drew Van Lloyd to the plate for an RBI opportunity for Velo. He scored the Springer's lone run thus far, last inning in the second, as he singled and came around to score on the Alex Jungles base knock with two outs. Looks at a first pitch ball from Kyle Kingsley. 1-0 pitch, that's in there for a strike from Kyle. Evens it up at 1-1. Barth from third, Dempsey from second for the Springers. Looking to add on here as they already possess a 1-0 lead. Kingsley's got other ideas. As the right-hander set at the belt, his 1-1 pitch, a big boy hack from Drew Van Lloyd, comes up empty, and Drew's in a hole at 1-2. So 1-2 the count to the Springer third baseman. Kingsley, who works from the stretch the entire time, he's ready. 1-2 pitch to Van Lloyd. That's hit on the ground towards short. Backhanded, deep in the hole by Salentin, and his throw across the time end is in time. Nice play by Nick Salentin to retire Van Lloy and strand two big Springer runners at second and third. For Cold Spring, they scored no runs. They had two hits. There were no Morehead errors and two runners left on base. 2.5, it is Cold Spring 1, Morehead 0. You're listening to State Tournament Baseball, Class B style, this afternoon on your Sunday. We are back in 1 minute on Total Country, Bob FM. Bottom of the third here at the Joe is Nick Salentin stepping into the batter's box for Morehead as the first offering from Zach Femright in there for a strike. Salentin, Matt Oye, and Brant Kolpak, 8-9-1 in the Brewer order. Set to face the Springer right-hander. Femright first pitch in there for a strike, second pitch fouled off softly at the Springer dugout. And 0-2 the count. As Femright quickly getting ahead, and he quickly gets a ball back, and his pitch missing up in the zone. Checking his swing was Nick Salentin. One and two. As Femright ready once again. Tall right-hander's 1-2 offering that is missing down and away. Springer's in the field. Olsen pretty much straight up and left, and he's not battling the sun, which he's thrilled about, I'm sure. Hanson straight away in center. Dempsey maybe shaded a tad towards the line in right. 1-2 pitch, 2-2 pitch, excuse me, was missing down and away, and that fills our count up at 3-2 with ninth hitter Matt Oye on deck for the Morehead Brewers. As the payoff pitch, Femright to Salentin, that's in there, strike three. Salentin was ready to flip the bat and head to first, Reese. Umpire punches him out for the first out of the third.
Yeah, he did a nice job working that count back from a 1-2 to get it full, but unfortunately, Femright just coming on the, it looks like, low outside on that one and able to cross up Salentin, send him back.
So one away, Matt Oye to the plate, left fielder for Morehead here today. As the first offering from Femright to Oye, he brought his top hand towards the middle of the bat, anticipating a bunt. But the pitch was coming up at his face, so he pulls back and takes ball one. 1-0 the count to Oye. As Femright's 1-0 pitch is popped up, this is going to be a tough play. Oh, no, Terrace has plenty of room over there. Thought that Oye hit a little harder. Jaron with plenty of real estate. Makes the catch. Easy pop out for out number two. And back to the top of the order and Brant Kolpeck.
Obviously, you're talking about Femrite, a pitcher a little bit up in age with the Springers, throwing a couple innings yesterday. So if you're him, you're trying to keep that pitch count as low as you can so you can go as far as you can today. He's done a nice job of that through 2 2/3.
It's two quick one here, two quick ones here as Kolpeck swings through the first offering from Femrite. Kolpeck started the bottom of the first with a fly out to Garrett Fox in short right field. As Zach right back, that pitch is popped up as Fox is going to have a tough play on this one. Still going back. He does make the catch on a back pedal. Nice job by Garrett to put that one away. And a strikeout and some soft pop-ups, and Femrite retires the Brewers in order here in the third. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left. Three in the books. It is 1-0 in favor of Coldspring over Moorhead. We are on to the fourth inning coming up in 1 minute on Total Country Bob FM. Top of the fourth here in Chaco as we're back at the Joe. It's Kirby Hemish, Reese Hemish with you for Springer Baseball. As in the fourth, top of the fourth inning, bottom of the order for Coldspring, Brad Olson, Jaron Terrace, and Alex Jungles as the first offering from Kyle Kingsley. Was it a ball? Scoreboard says
ball.
Going
with the ball, yeah.
Scoreboard says ball. I guess it was a ball. Ball one to Brad Olson. 1-0 pitch. That is a ball because it skips to the backstop. 2-0 the count. It's weird. The pop-ups in the Rockies Buckman game, every one of them was an adventure, and they're just routine plays here today in Shakopee. It's almost like we're 100 miles away from there. As the 2-0 pitch missing high from Kingsley to Olson, now 3-0.
Obviously, too, in Springfield, he had the wind going out. Here it's going in. That's why I think Fox had an easy time with that pop-up in the last half inning.
3-0 pitch to Olson, in there for a strike. As that moves our count to 3-1. Brad bounced out to the pitcher. Kyle Kingsley, his first time up, back in the second. 3-1 pitch. That's on the corner for a strike as well. Good job by Kingsley to battle back and fill the count up at 3-2. 3-2 the count to the Springer left fielder. Getting things going for Coldspring in the fourth as the 3-2 pitch hit on the ground softly towards third. Tanner Adam, up with it. Throw across the diamond is in time. 5-3 on the putout. Nice play over there at first. Good reaction play by Mac Peschel-Reese.
Yeah, kind of garbles it up at third. Tanner Adam fires it across the diamond. Really strong throw, and Peschel able to make the move on the base pass, taking 1 foot off and switching it for the other to get his foot over. A lot of strong arms on this Moorhead team, it seems like, so far early.
They have shown off the long toss ability thus far here today. It's Jaron Terrace into the batter's box. Jaron walked his first time up as he looks at an off-speed pitch in there for a strike. Jaron walked and then made his way to second base on the Alex Jungles RBI single back in the second. As the one-strike pitch, that's missing for a ball, evens us up at 1-1. Local team still competing. Sartell Muskies with a victory yesterday against Gaylord. As the 1-1 pitch to Terrace, that's hit on the ground towards third. And in the hole, past a diving Tanner Adam. Terrace aboard for the second time in as many trips. As he has a one-out single right there. We have Foley victorious here today, Reese. Sartell wins yesterday. Of course, the Cold Spring Rockies won earlier this morning. Watkins with a victory this morning as well. And I think that's about it.
So does that leave three so far for sure going into next weekend in our radio network here? Possibly a fourth tonight with Lake Henry?
So Watkins, Cold Spring, still... Still into the final weekend on our family of stations, and should Lake Henry beat Jordan, that would make it four of them. Yes, as this pitch to Alex Jungles hit in the air right at center fielder Jace McLean. As first pitch swinging, Jungles lines it right to McLean for a out number two as the lineup turns over to Brian Hansen. So, yeah, there will be games on the air next weekend on KASM and potentially KDDG. We'll have to figure that out once we get the schedule.
Well, that's always fun. You know, it's not a guaranteed every year that we get a final weekend team in our realm, but to get three of them for sure already this year, that's a very positive thing for Central Minnesota baseball.
Absolutely. Good for everybody. As Garrett Fox Brian Hansen into the batter's box for Cold Spring is the first pitch he sees from Kingsley. He'll foul this over the Moorhead bullpen up the first base and right field side.
almost like the Central Minnesota Amateur Baseball has just shifted south a bit in the last few years. Kind of noticed those Victory League teams not showing off the prowess like they used to. Stearns County League teams coming a little further in the tournament every year. It's really good to see.
One strike pitch to Hansen's in there for a strike. Yeah, there were years you're referencing the Victory League would have four teams in the final 16. And, you know, now you get three teams out of Region 11 seed that are still playing. And a couple Region 15 seeds, the Springers tossed in there as well. It is nice to see the local Yokels still playing in September. As the two-strike pitch to Hansen, missing high. Two away for Cold Spring in the fourth with Terrace aboard at first. Hansen thus far is 1-for-2. His third at-bat here in the fourth inning. Springers leading 1-0. Got that RBI single from Alex Jungles back in the second as the pitch is fouled into the netting by Hansen. Count remains at 1-2. One and two, the count to the Springer center fielder. Brian with a home run in each game thus far in the state tournament. 2-for-2 on home runs. As Kingsley, a long look into his catcher, Chandler Eibach. Right-hander's got it. His 1-2 pitch to Hansen. That's hit on the ground towards second and into right field. Terrace goes hard to second base, and there's that arm respect we're talking about, Reese, as Joe Halleck gets the ball in right, and Terrace just stops at second and basically saying, no way.
Yeah, the early woes by the Springers on the base pass, that along with the fact that wind's blowing in, it might be tough for us to maybe see some extra base hits in this one. It might just kind of be a base-to-base kind of cloudy overcast game, and so far the Springers have done that, 7 hits through 3 2/3.
So two away and two on. Garrett Fox to the plate as the first offering to Fox. It is fouled into the netting as Fox punching that one right back into the screen. Cold Spring looking to add on here as they got Terrace in scoring position. As Kingsley Slett, his one strike pitch to Fox is cut on and missed. Must be deceptively fast, Reese. We've seen some late swings and misses on the fastball.
Yeah, especially a lot of balls being pushed by the Springer so far early. So I can see that.
Two quick strikes on Garrett Fox, the Springer second baseman. Terrace leads from second once again as the two-strike pitch is cut on and missed. Another fastball got by Fox, out number three, and that does it for Cold Spring in the fourth. They score no runs. They had two hits. There were no Moorhead airs and two more runners left on base for Cold Spring, who has left six in the last three innings all of a sudden. After 3.5, it is Cold Spring 1 and Moorhead 0. You're listening to Cold Spring Springer State Tournament action right here on KASM. We're back in 1 minute. Bottom of the fourth we go here at the Joe. It'll be Jace McLean, Denver Blinn, and Joe Halleck due up for the Moorhead Brewers as they get another look at Zach Femright, the Springer starting pitcher here today. Zach's been very good thus far, just one over the minimum as his first offering missing down and away for a ball. Femright right back is 1-0 pitch. That's down and away once again. Jace McLean bounce out to Garrett Fox back in the first inning. As Femright quickly falling behind McLean, he's ready here. His 2-0 pitch, that is hammered into the right field corner, and that's going to be extra bases for Jace McLean. He takes the turn at first. Dempsey retrieves it. McLean will stop at second base with a leadoff double right there, just shooting that ball into the right field corner.
Yeah, kind of contradicting what I had just said to end the last inning. Not going to see a lot of extra bases in this one, but obviously McLean all over that pitch, saw it coming on the inside from Femright and just tore it up, and this is about the best chance Moorhead's had so far to get something going.
So leadoff man on. Yeah, Moorhead's only other base runner was a single by Tanner Adam, and he never advanced past first base. As Denver Blinn, the three-hitter, into the batter's box. Terrace in front of the base at first, anticipating a bunt potentially, as is Van Loy at third. You do have a Class B three-hitter in the batter's box yet here, Reese, so it's a little interesting to see that defensive positioning as Femright falling behind again here on Blinn. His 1-0 offering, that is missing down and away, and now 2-0. 2-0 the count. Blinn, a strikeout victim. Femrite has two of them. Blinn represents half of those. It was him and Nick Salentine who have been punched out. 2-0 pitch, that's popped up. Terrace over for a look. He's still over and reaching. That ball is out of play over by the Chanhassen Redbirds. As that ball dropping, foul and out of play. Count now 2-1. That's the spot to go. That's the. It's kind of not a lot of room to rumble, Reese, but it does get wider, like the extension of first base and third base. Those areas, it kind of bows out. As Femrite's 2-1 pitch, that is hit into the air to deep left center field. Hansen going back, still on the run. Brian will make the catch on the run. 15 feet to the right of the 355 sign. Blinn put a charge into that one, Reese, but some good speed and legs and a great read by Brian Hansen to put it away.
Sometimes it's just amazing to see what Brian Hansen can do out there in center field. Off the bat, I was thinking for sure gap, for sure a double, bringing in a run. And he doesn't even slide, doesn't dive. He just kind of glides over there, makes the play on the run. And the amount of ground that he can cover is just unbelievable.
That was pretty impressive, as I'm with you there. I thought that was a double for sure, running the gap, but not the case. As Joe Halleck comes into the batter's box. With one away and the runner still at second as the first pitch. That'll get past Drew Bolson, and that will advance Jace McLean to third base. Pitch running inside. Bolson wasn't able to get it, and runner moves to third base, and the Springer infield is going to have to come in here. Reese, try to mow that runner down at home.
I think you might have to almost rule that one a pass ball over a wild pitch as well. What were you thinking?
I would probably agree with that, yeah.
Tough play for Bolson, but one you'd probably like to have your hands on, and thinking it might have been the case.
No, as the infield comes in, Alex Big Bat looking to tie this game up at least as he swings through the Femrite slider to even our count up at 1-1. Springers lead 1-0. Got a run in the top of the second inning. We're playing here in the bottom of the fourth. This is a winner's bracket game in the Class B State Amateur Baseball Tournament. 1-1 pitch, laced right at Fox and off of his glove. A diving attempt right there by Fox. Very tough play. Garrett still on his knees looking down, thinking he potentially should have had that. That's a tough play, Reese, as Halleck was all over that ball.
You're playing on the infield grass on that play if you're Fox with one out, runner on third. If he's playing back, he probably has a couple more seconds to react, maybe makes a play if it's near his realm, but you just kind of have to hear the contact and dive when you think you have it. It looked like he made the right read to his right, but just not quick enough to make that play as that ball was laced off of Halleck's bat.
So our game is now tied at one as Jace McLean comes in to score. As the first offering, there's another base hit. Back-to-back singles and three hits on the inning as Tanner Adam punches one into left field. First and second, still just one away for Moorhead and Mike Peschel stepping into the batter's box.
This is kind of what we expected out of Moorhead coming into this one. You knew they weren't going to be intimidated by Femrite. You knew they've seen them before. They've seen them in the past couple of years. They know how to hit them. And this is definitely a team that can bat 1-9, and I'm expecting them to put up a threat for a lot of innings here.
So the Brewers still cooking here in the fourth inning. They've tied the game, and they're now threatening to take the lead as Mike Peschel into the batter's box. He looks at a first pitch ball above the belt from Femrite. Peschel lined out to shortstop Jordan Barth back in his only at-bat back in the second inning. He hit that ball hard. As the right-hander set, Femrite's 1-0 pitch. That's missing outside. Now 2-0, and as we see that, there's some stirring and activity in the left field bullpen, Reese, which is the Springer bullpen.
Looks like Sam Hansen getting ready out there. He was not here for the Springers yesterday, but he is here today.
That pitch is laced down the left field line, and that's going to get one run in at least. Olsen Fields, he actually comes up throwing all the way to the plate and sliding in safely and scoring is Joe Halleck. And with that throw coming all the way through, Reese, that allows Tanner Adam to advance to third and Mike Peschel to make his way to second base on his RBI single.
A tough play there for Olsen. He makes a good job going over to get it on the line, making the throw into home. It looked like it might have been a play. It didn't look like it at first. I was with you, and all of a sudden the throw came out of nowhere. But Bolson also kind of catches that one flat-footed, doesn't come out and get it to possibly induce a play at third or second. And with that being done, those guys just walk to the bases. So now Adam at third and Peschel all the way up to second. And Moorhead's looking for a big inning.
Dave Hinkemeyer makes his way out of the dugout. Gives me a chance to remind you that our game is brought to you by our proud Springer Sports Boosters here on Bob FM, Gilliland Chevrolet, Erkins Water, Wiesman Trucking, Rambo, Tom Kramer Incorporated, Westwind Woodworkers of Cold Spring, Painesville Mutual Insurance, Willem Ringdahl, Woken and Zimmerman of Cold Spring, Avon, and Albany, Cold Spring Bakery, Promotional Resources Incorporated of St. Joe. Stay tuned after the game as Reese Hemish will name our Albany and Richmond A&W postgame player of the game. That player is going to receive a $10 gift certificate to redeem at Albany or Richmond A&W. So it's second and third with one out. It's still Femride's game as Hinkemeyer makes his way back to the dugout. Chandler Eibach into the batter's box. Moorhead with the lead now 2-1 as the first offering. That is hit in the air to deep left field. Olsen going back. He has it measured. He'll make the catch at the warning track. Throw coming into third base. So the run coming home with ease is Tanner Adam. And it is a 3-1 lead for Moorhead now as they double their lead with that RBI sack fly by Chandler Eibach.
That's always nice when you get a guy like Eibach hitting in the 7-hole who can put a ball that far. I mean, it's not like it takes a whole lot to get Tanner Adam in from third on that one, but that thing was hit a long way, is almost a little bit in front of the warning track. So when your 7-hitter does that and can sack fly in, you're going to put up some runs.
So three in the fourth for the Moorhead Brewers, and Nick Salentine to the plate as Salentine first offering from Femright, missing inside for a ball. Femright, who breezed through the first three innings, going one over the minimum. Some trouble here in the fourth as the 1-0 pitch is in there for a strike, evens us up at 1-1. 1-1 the count. Femright hoping to get his team back into the dugout here as the right-hander's 1-1 pitch is cut on and missed by Nick Salentine. And the count moves to 1-2. Salentine did strike out last inning, starting the third inning. Second strikeout victim for Femright on the afternoon. As the right-hander set, a glance at Peschel at second base. The two-strike pitch in there, strike three. And going down looking for the second consecutive inning is Nick Salentine for out number three, strikeout number three as well for Femright. That does it for Moorhead in the fourth, but what a fourth it was. They score three runs on four hits. There were no Springer errors and one runner left on base. Four in the books here in Shakopee as the scoreboard now reads 3-1 in favor of the Moorhead Brewers. We are on to the fifth inning. Coming up in 1 minute right here on your home for Cold Spring Springer Baseball, it is Total Country, Bob FM.